Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is America's Independence Day Wake-Up Call. I'm going to focus on one verse, Proverbs 14:34, which reads, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And there's not going to be a lot of scripture in this message. This is a heartfelt message. And I'm going to tell you, this scripture is universal and applies to any and all people. The truth is, and I'm telling you this, that liberty and righteousness cannot be separated. And when we abuse the righteousness that God expects us to practice, we lose our liberty. So as character disappears from our nation, we will lose more and more of our liberty. And isn't that exactly what we see happening today? I'm telling you, we must assume responsibility as we practice righteousness. Remember, the scriptures say, "He who practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous." That's Jesus. So the choice is ours. And remember founding father Patrick Henry? He's famous for the quote, "Give me liberty or give me death." He referred to liberty as a holy cause. And Edmund Burke said, "All that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." And the point is that no free people can look to government to solve their problems. That's not the purpose of a just government. And it's the point of this focus verse. and this very important Independence Day message. Now, I hope your anchor holds you in these dark and perilous times. And if you're anchored in Jesus Christ, it will, because he is indeed the solid rock of ages, our mighty fortress. Praise Jesus for that, eh? You know, everyone likes to say America's number one. But sadly today, America's number one in all the wrong things, like sexual perversion, abortion crime, the destruction of family values, and there's more and more this abomination going on every and every day. And now, you know, we've become the police force of the world for the enforcement of political correctness and humanistic values, which are from Lucifer's protocols. America's no longer number one in what really matters, like education, health, wealth, godliness, and the practice of righteousness. You know, I often wonder, if the Lord tarries, what kind of nation our children and grandchildren are going to inherit. So that's why I always say Maranatha. And the signs of the time indicate his soon return. It really does. They really do. You know, all we ever hear on the mainstream media anymore is that the most important thing to do is to fix the economy. And most Americans believe that. Remember that old political slogan that said it's the economy, stupid? Well, is it really the economy? Is that really what's the most important issue? I'm going to be honest with you. If the Lord does tarry, I'd rather leave a legacy of a godly nation rather than great wealth to the future generations to be squandered on godless pursuits of pleasure. So I don't believe the slogan that says it's the economy, stupid. I believe a robust economy is actually the result or byproduct of godliness and the practice of righteousness. So I believe it's what God says. It's righteousness that our nation needs. Righteousness exalts a nation. Now ask yourself this question, and it's a very sobering one. Do you feel any safer in this world since the fall of the Soviet Union and communism? Remember that great Cold War that we had for generations? Of course not. It's by the design of the Luciferian protocols. They call it perpetual war for perpetual peace. Look it up and read about it. And I suppose you're no better off either financially, because now we have the war on terror sucking up all of our available resources. This is a great con. And the problem is that we thought we got rid of the demon of communism, but did we really? You know, everybody told us that was our biggest threat, you know, the Cold War. But we didn't have spiritual revival. So now we're facing seven other more deadly demons than before, after our house was cleansed, or so-called cleansed, of communism. You know, Alexander Hamilton said that people get the kind of government they deserve. So if we want to know what's right or wrong with America, all we got to do is look in the mirror. Something bad, something really bad has happened since our nation's founding in 1776. You know, today we're trying to make our Constitution and this republic, yes, this republic, it's not a democracy, do something it was never intended to do. So now we need to understand where we've come from and what made America the greatest nation on the face of this earth. You know, back in July 4th, 1776, in the city of Philadelphia, the Declaration of Independence was signed. Now, it's not an inspired document like the Bible, but it was inspired by the Bible. And today, Americans have forgotten, when we talk about our independence described in this document, it's the very same document that declared our dependence upon Almighty God. You know, our Declaration of Independence states, and I'm going to quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator," did you hear that? By our Creator, with certain unalienable rights. And then the Declaration of Independence closes with these solemn words. And listen to this. And notice our Declaration of Dependence upon Almighty God. And it reads, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Did you get that? A firm reliance is dependence. Dependence upon God Almighty, or what they call providence. So we the people, we place our dependence upon Almighty God when we asserted our independence from Great Britain. And so our forefathers signed this declaration, and the cannons fired, you know, fireworks went off and filled the skies, bells chimed all across the land, and at the Independence Hall, the old state house in Philadelphia, the Liberty Bell rang out. And you know what that bell has inscribed on it? It has a quote from Leviticus 25, chapter 25, verse 10, which reads, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof." So in this Declaration of Independence, We said God is our sovereign and God is our creator. Yet today, we can't even teach creationism in schools. What's going on? Now get this. The truth is that the creator gave us unalienable rights. The government doesn't give them to us. God did. Therefore, a just government cannot take them from you. They can't say you can do this or you can do that. All they can do is protect private property and promote the general welfare. And we're going to get into more of that later. You know, so in truth, a just government is only ordained by the people to protect those rights. And that's what Romans chapter 13 is really talking about. And if you want to understand our founding fathers believed about this, then you need to really truly understand chapter 13 of Romans. Now, with this in mind, let's look at America's only hope. And I pray that the Holy Spirit writes these truths on your mind and burns them into your soul, and that he causes them to resonate in your thoughts this 4th of July weekend. And the first one is the righteousness that exalts a nation. Remember, God said righteousness exalts a nation, Proverbs 14:34. So first, we must understand that righteousness and liberty are inextricably linked. And remember, Patrick Henry called liberty a holy cause. So we can't truly have liberty without true righteousness. Now, righteousness is living responsibly under God. Righteousness happens when you and me assume our God-given responsibilities as citizens of the kingdom of God and sojourners in this great country. So to truly understand righteousness, we must see how righteousness and liberty are inseparable. So let's use the idea of a newborn baby who has no responsibilities. They don't have to worry about anything. They don't work. They don't have to pay bills. They don't have to go to the grocery store. In fact, a little baby doesn't even have to change its dirty diapers or take a bath. It's all done for them. But then in the same sense, this little baby that has no responsibilities has absolutely no liberty. It can't decide when it's going to sleep, where it's going to sleep, what it's going to eat, when it's going to eat, what diapers it'll wear. And it's carried everywhere someone else wants it to go. So it has absolutely no liberties at all because it hasn't yet lived responsibly. Yet as that child grows, it starts to assume more and more responsibilities, and the child's given more and more liberties. You know, after a while, when he's responsible enough, maybe he's even allowed to walk home from school. And then the day comes when she turns 16 and she says, "Dad, can I borrow the car?" And then mom and dad have a real decision to make, don't they? They wonder, is our daughter responsible enough? Has she demonstrated by the way she lives that she can take this 3,000-pound piece of machinery out onto the highway and responsibly operate it? Has she shown enough responsibility to be given that great liberty? That's a big decision. That goes through the minds and hearts of many parents. So that's how responsibility and liberty are inextricably linked. They're woven together like the warp and weft of a fine linen fabric. And when a man becomes a criminal, he chooses to live irresponsibly. And we put him in jail after he's tried and convicted. And now he doesn't have to even turn out the lights, but he can't unlock the door either. You know what I mean? And that's true for individuals, and it's also true for a nation. Because a nation is comprised and composed of nothing but the individuals, we the people. So when we fail in our responsibilities, our sacred liberties are taken away. And as Americans, we'll have more and more oppression from government as less and less liberty is available because we don't practice righteousness anymore. So when we lose responsibility, it's evidence of the loss of our character. And when we fail to practice righteousness, as night follows day, I'm telling you, as night follows day, we lose our liberty. So whenever there's a loss of character in a people, which is the practice of righteousness and responsibility assumed, there's always a growth in government. The truth is, I'm telling you this, people cannot live responsibly. If a people can't live responsibly from within, they will be governed from without. And that's what made America great. A great nation. It was born in revival. So never forget that. You know, from about 1740 to 1770, there was this huge revival that swept across America. It even was given a name. It was called the Great Awakening. You know, preachers like Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield and many other righteous men were preaching the full gospel. And there was a flame of righteousness burning across our land. And then out of that revival, schools were built and godly principles were taught, and our character became very strong. And a nation was born declaring independence from Great Britain and dependence upon Almighty God. So our founding fathers knew that the more character we had, the more responsibility we could assume. And that all came from the practice of righteousness. And then the less government was needed. So our founding fathers knew that the best government was the less government. And over the past 200 years, we've had in America what's known as a constitutional republic, not a democracy like everybody wants you to believe, because we have a government based in law with a constitution. And that law is supposed to be natural law or God's law, not case law. But sadly, our common law was usurped by crafty attorneys who created the Bar Association, part of this Luciferian network, which in the legal world is known as case law or equity. Now we have attorneys at law rather than attorneys in law. And this Luciferian equity law is like when your children come to you and say, Mom, Mom, can we go? Everybody's going or everybody's doing it. So what equity law says is, well, everybody's doing it, so it must be legal. Now get this, and please understand, there's a huge difference between something being legal and something being lawful. And for example, take abortion. Today it's legal in America. But back in 1960, it was illegal. But it was never lawful in the eyes of God, nor will it ever be lawful in the eyes of God. So in natural law, it's an abomination to God. Yet at equity law, it's legal. So God said no, but man says yes. God says no in natural law, but man says yes in equity law. And the same applies to all these other abominations like gambling, cohabitation, no-fault divorce, homosexual marriage, just to name a few. And that's the difference between natural law or common law and equity law, which we now have. The Bar Association has usurped our legal system. And what happens is, as personal license increases for this licentiousness, and these things are made legal, things that are not truly lawful, our lawful liberties, like the right to private property, free speech, free religion, and lawful money, they're all taken away. It's a crafty con from Lucifer himself. Now, those who serve in a government truly only serve as representatives today, and we have to understand this, but most of them have forgotten that they represent us, we the people. And they serve only with the consent of the governed. And that's us, because this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And they were never elected to lord over us. But, and I'm telling you, this is a huge but, this kind of government can only work where there's character rooted in the hearts of we the people. So if there's no righteousness, then this kind of government rooted in biblical ethics will not work. And if you don't believe me, let me read you what James Madison, our fourth president and architect of the U.S. Constitution, had a say on this. And this is a direct quote. He said, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves and to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments." Did you hear that? James Madison, our fourth president and architect of the U.S. Constitution, said that, not me. So they set our whole future, upon people who have character. And Madison said, our fourth president said, that the basis of that character is the Ten Commandments of God. Yet these very same Ten Commandments that Madison said are essential for our nation to function as it was intended to function are being taken down from classrooms all over the country because they're deemed unconstitutional by the man who wrote the Constitution. What's up with this? Well, it's all being driven by the protocols of Lucifer and his dark plan for the New World Order. So truly, liberty is responsibility assumed. But we aren't teaching this today in our schools. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. Therefore, doing your thing, that's not responsibility. That's not liberty. That's license. And the ultimate result of license is a dependent mentality. So real liberty always comes from within. It's taking the policeman off the street corner and putting them in your heart. The point is, the less God rules in our hearts, the more control we're going to have imposed upon us from without. So the difference between freedom and slavery is where the law is located. You know, in slavery, the laws are posted on the outside. In freedom, the laws are written in our hearts. Remember, righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people, and that means nation too. So remember that our Constitution was born in the white-hot fire of revival, and we're a people that declared dependence and reliance upon divine providence, and that's God. So then when we did this back in 1776, something supernatural happened in America. It really did. There was an industrial revolution. We, the people, we began to produce great wealth. So was our soil any richer? Did it rain more in America? Or was our good old Yankee ingenuity so much better? Or were we brighter people? Of course not. There were certain principles of liberty. This sacred thing, according to Patrick Henry, that began to work upon the hearts of we the people. And this resulted in the Industrial Revolution, where we combined labor and substance, and honestly, that's the only way to produce true wealth. Not by service, not by information management, by taking stuff, by mining, by farming, by manufacturing, taking that stuff and putting people's labor together with it. Not by offshoring, but by taking stuff, timber, farming, mining, manufacturing, and getting people to work. That's the only way to produce true wealth. And then we developed a strong, great military. And it's not like that in America anymore. You know, today we're putting women on the front lines in the army, and God's thrown out of the army. Did you know God spoke specifically against this and placed a judgment upon a nation who turns their back on him? Jeremiah 48:41 and 49:22, he said, I will make their soldiers like women. And that's God's judgment. It's happening to us today in the good old USA. So he'll take away our military strength, and he's in the process of doing this. You know, our nation became a strong, wealthy nation with culture and prestige, and we were the admiration of the world. We truly were when we were practicing righteousness. Yet today we're scorned and hated because we tried to buy our way around the world with rotten foreign policy. We're imperialistic, and we're trying to advance the Luciferian New World Order. And that's really what's going on here. So liberty and character are inextricably woven. Never forget that. And liberty is nothing more than responsibility and character assumed as we practice righteousness. Remember, righteousness exalteth the nation. Now let's look at the second part of that scripture, which really tells us that the reproach is a humiliation to the nation. So there's a reproach that is humiliation to the nation. That's the second part of that scripture. Now, the truth is that our great American dream is dissolving before our very eyes in a cesspool of sin. You know, we came through the Civil War and even World War I with God's help. We were a very godly nation. Yet we were poor winners, and we didn't give God the thanks he deserved for what he provided to us. And then in the 20s, you know, that was called the Flapper Age. We had the Roaring 20s right after World War I. We got out of control, and we became very self-indulgent. And then in 1929, the Depression struck, and it struck hard, and the stock market crashed as a generation or two of these people were fooled into accepting the Federal Reserve Act con. It was a con back from 1913 because they were too ignorant to take action against these private bankers who stole the wealth of this nation and many other nations. So what happened in America leading up to this reproach just didn't happen in our generation. It began in America a long time ago, back in the 1920s. You know, we wanted our self-government without any self-control, and that simply cannot be done. So back at that time, coming out of the Great Depression, rather than looking at what went wrong and fixing it properly and getting back into the practice of righteousness, we tried to fix it the wrong way. We started to give more and more power to the government. So we began to relinquish our responsibilities, and we gave them to the government. Now remember, as character disintegrates, there's a loss of liberty, and government becomes more and more powerful. So there was this erosion of character through sexual perversion, gross perversions of all sorts, abortion, the breakup of the family, and obsession with material wealth. And this all tied to this insatiable carnal lust, you know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We've talked about that before. And that creates a craving, a great craving, a desire for sex and drugs. Wow, all along, the government grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And what does government do? It's very cunning. It starts to provide for the people. Yet sadly, people fail to realize that government can't give anything that it first doesn't take away. because the government doesn't produce anything. It doesn't create wealth. It only confiscates wealth. It doesn't take labor and substance and combine them to create wealth. It takes other people's wealth and then gives it to others because it can't produce that wealth. It has to take it from someone else. So the government provides, and as it provides, it assumes more and more authority. And as the government begins to provide, soon it begins to regulate. Now think about it like this. There was this old farmer. He had some wild pigs that were just messing up his crops. So he didn't know how to catch them because wild pigs are pretty wily. So another crafty old-timer said, I'll show you how to catch those wild pigs. So he put some food on the ground and went away. And the pigs came out of the woods and they ate the food. And he kept doing that every day. And then one day he put a single fence post in the middle of the food. And the pigs saw it, but it was just a post sticking out of the ground. So they come up and ate the food. And then he started to put more posts. And every day the pigs would come and eat the food because there were just a bunch of posts sticking out of the ground. And then he started to put the food in the middle of the post. And he started to put wires up around the post. And the pigs would come in through this open spot where the gate would ultimately go. And they'd eat the food, never thinking anything of it. And then one day they came to eat, and he walked up behind them and swung the pen shut. And you know what happened? That crafty old man, his name was Uncle Sam, he closed the gate and the pigs were caught. And that's exactly what Uncle Sam's doing to we the people today. You know, that farmer said, well, I never thought you'd catch those old wily pigs, Uncle Sam. And old Uncle Sam said, of course I would. Lucifer taught me that anyone who will depend upon me for its food, I will ultimately control. You see, we've come to a place where we depend upon old Uncle Sam. And so we must follow whatever he tells us to do. Remember, Uncle Sam can only give us what he first takes from us. So we've become a welfare state, which is just another version of communism. Remember back at the beginning of this message? What we fought so hard to destroy? Remember the Luciferian con? You know, perpetual war for perpetual peace. So the Word of God, it's clearly showing us why we're losing our liberties. From this NSA eavesdropping, sobriety checkpoints, you know, there's calls for more and more gun control, and this list goes on and on. And these are all signs of the time. Yet we think we're getting more and more freedom because now we have homosexual marriage, you can sleep around, you can find porn on the internet or in any street corner, and we call that freedom? That's not freedom, that's called licentiousness. So God gives us many grave warnings of the judgment to come to those who refuse him and his word. He says in Proverbs 13:13, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So not only are we on the track to losing liberty, but I believe we're headed towards destruction. You know, our nation has embraced the cunning deception of these international bankers and the multinational corporations, and recently the Supreme Court gave a wink to homosexual marriage, and God calls that an abomination. He clearly warns in 1 Chronicles 5:25, and they transgressed against God, the God of their fathers, and went a-whoring after the gods of the people of the land whom God destroyed before them. So in this message, we're looking at the only hope for America. But honestly, my friends, I'm telling you this. I believe it's too late. And as Glenn Beck recently said on one of his broadcasts, now it's time to get our houses in order because judgment is coming upon this land. God said in Job 34:25, he knoweth their works and he overturneth them in the night, so that they are destroyed. Remember, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So we've seen that this growth in government literally is the sin which is a reproach to any people, because government begins to give what it first took away or stole from others. And after the government provides, it controls, and then it's free to oppress, which in effect is totalitarian government. And that's where we're headed right now. So we have less and less freedom, less and less liberty, because weak character has permeated we the people. Remember, liberty will last only as long as character and responsibility are assumed, and that comes only through the practice of righteousness. Now, I'm going to run out of time on this message, so check it out in the archive. But I'm on fire right now because I can't stand what I see going on. Remember what Edmund Burke said? All that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And that's what I see happening right now. You know? And remember, government begins to give what it took from others. That's wrong. That's an atrocity. Remember, liberty will only last as long as we practice righteousness. Now, one of the craziest things I've ever heard people say is it doesn't make any difference what the character of our leaders are, as long as they can do the job. Well, that's balderdash, because righteousness exalts a nation, and as we lose our character, we lose our liberty. So that's the reproach that happens to a people as their character is lost. Remember what Alexander Hamilton said, we get the government we deserve, we truly do. Now, are you thinking, well, we still have a lot of blessings in America? Yeah, we do, but they're residual blessings. You know, they're things that our forefathers and our fathers left us. So we're living in the shadows of an age gone by. And I'm really, truly afraid it's too late for America to awaken. And I believe it's time to get our houses in order, because we're facing the judgment of God. Jesus is coming back, and very soon, for his bride who's chaste and pure. So are you prepared? Are you practicing righteousness and purifying yourself as he's pure? If so, praise the Lord Jesus. And if not, there's two steps to take. First, repent and trust. Just do that every step you walk. Repent and trust. And then trust and obey, because there's no other way. And then what will happen is the reproach will come upon the nation, but we're going to be protected because we're the bride of Christ. And the Bible promises us that. So as this starts to happen, what are we going to see? Because I don't think it can be turned around on a corporate or national level. So I think it is truly time to get our houses in order. Well, what we're going to see are further and further losses of liberty. Well, we're already seeing that, but it's going to get worse. And then expect to see the disappearance, the total disappearance of the middle class. And it started to happen in 2008, but there's going to be something even worse that happens with this next financial collapse. And this all happens when a nation loses its liberty because it chooses not to practice righteousness. And then we're only going to have two classes, the haves and the have-nots, the very rich and the very poor. And most of the very rich are going to be associated with or in government. And the very poor are going to be those not in the government, the peasants who must labor for their feudal lords to keep the government going. So in actuality, it's going to be a fallback to the old feudal lord system of medieval England. You know, this happens whenever character disintegrates and government grows. You know, today we have one bureaucrat and one dependent welfare recipient for every three people working in industry, creating true wealth. Yet 75 years ago, it was a ratio of 205 productive workers to one dependent government or welfare type person. So it's simple cause and effect. Cause, loss of character. Effect, growth of government. And this year, 2013, we had to work from January 1st to May 9th to pay $4.2 trillion in taxes. That's about 36% of our earnings just to pay taxes. And you know what the peasants had to pay to their feudal lords back in the Middle Ages? They only had to pay between 10 to 25% of their crop, and then they had to give the church another 10%. So you do the math. We pay more to our government than the middle-aged peasants did to their feudal lords. So government's getting bigger and bigger because our character's getting smaller and smaller. And we have to understand what our founding fathers knew so very well. Government's not here to meet our needs. That's not the purpose of government. In Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, it says the government is here to protect us from tyranny and to punish the evildoer. And that's the reason our forefathers said our government is here to provide for the common defense and to promote the general welfare. The government never said to provide for the general welfare. A just government is only to provide for the common defense. And that's because you and me can't raise a standing army. So the government must provide for the common defense as they promote our general welfare or create the conditions where we can prosper. So the intent of our government, as it was established back in 1776, was to provide us a land where free Americans could go out and, as the Bible says, work, and then keep what they earned. You know, this whole concept of a graduated income tax is actually one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. The Bible says, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Then when the people begin to see the government could be a cow to get milk from rather than a watchdog to be fed, you get in trouble, and that's where we're at now. So government, a just government's only here to protect us and to promote the general welfare. And in truth, there's only two kinds of governments, the just and the unjust. You know, a just government can only ask you or me to do what's reasonably possible for you or me to ask our neighbors to do. Whereas an unjust government forces you and me to do what we could never reasonably ask our neighbor to do. And it has to be done at the point of a gun. Chairman Mao said all power emanates from the tip of a gun. So what does that make our current government? You know, what do the feds do when you don't pay your property taxes or your income tax? They raid your house with a SWAT team. And that's a de facto government, ruling by might, not by right. You know, and they've rushed in to fill the void of our de jure government that left when it went bankrupt in 1933. And the bankers declared we, the people, enemies of the state. It all fell because we, the people, lacked righteousness. So when this de facto government, a government of might, takes over, it says, whatever we subsidize, we're going to control, and that includes education. So this very ugly process begins with our children. And think about this. It's an absurdity. We send our children off to be educated. You know, we want them to learn how to read and write and learn about history. And this system has outlawed the very God that we declared we depend upon. They took the Ten Commandments out and replaced it with values clarification. Remember, Proverbs 13:13 says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment, he shall be rewarded. So now, instead of teaching good old-fashioned Americanism, our children are taught all these glories of the welfare state and one world government and the new world order. In 1920, Hitler said, give me the minds of the children, and in one generation, I'll give you the fascistic super state. So all they need are the minds of the children. That's why Hitler started his youth corps and the brown shirts, and today Obama has his FEMA corps. And just Google FEMA corps, and you'll see what I'm talking about. In 2012, the first class graduated over 200 18 to 24-year-olds. And now, a year later, they plan to graduate 1,600 of these youth movement, Obama, police, in every class, and it's continuing to grow. And then back in the early 1900s, Stalin said the same thing Hitler did. So this is the humiliation and the reproach of a nation. The Bible's out and humanism's in. And listen to what this professor of educational psychiatry at Harvard University said. He said, every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances towards our founding fathers, towards our elected officials, towards his parents, towards a belief in the supernatural being, and towards the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It is up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international child of the future. So this Harvard professor's calling our children sick if they love their parents, the founding fathers, God, and if they say America first. And the educators believe our children are sick and need to be healed, and they've got to re-educate them. Listen to this quote out of the Humanist magazine. The battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers of a new faith. This was the January-February issue on page 26, published in 1983. So this has been around for a long time. So they've taken our public schools and turned them into a five-day-a-week Sunday school for their religion called humanism. And then the same article goes on to say the classroom must and will become the arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotten corpse of Christianity and the faith of humanism. They called it a faith, yet don't we have separation of church and state? What's that all about? So these godless men and women have hijacked our classrooms to advance their Luciferian agenda. That's what they've done. And we, the people, are subsidizing them with our tax dollars. So God-fearing Americans pay their salaries, the salaries of these Luciferians, so they can brainwash our children and rob them of the Christian values we cherish. So we've seen that there's righteousness that exalts a nation, and there's the reproach that is the humiliation of a nation. Now, we can always hope and pray for the revival that restores a nation, but like I said, I truly believe it's too late. But God is a just God, and God is a sovereign God. And the Bible does say in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. I'm telling you, I'm afraid it's too late. There's signs everywhere, in the heavens, on the earth, in politics, the economy, our culture, that these are the end times. But regardless of the lateness of the hour, we must seek the righteousness of God. We must practice the righteousness of God. Remember, we're called salt and light, and salt penetrates. It purifies, it heals, and it preserves. So If we're to be salt, that means we can't be sugar, and neither are we pepper. We're salt. Jesus said if the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of man, Matthew 5, verse 13. And that's exactly what's happening in the church today. She's being walked on under the feet of man because she's become salt without savor. Today we hear so much about separation of church and state, like I said, but that's not even found in the Constitution. It isn't. It's not in the Constitution. You know, they just didn't, the founding fathers didn't want a state church, but they never said anything about separating God from government. You know, they're the ones who coined the phrases like one nation under God, God bless America, we're endowed with certain unalienable rights from our Creator. So we must remember God and ask Him to help us as we practice righteousness. Remember, salt must have savor, or it becomes nothing more than the brunt of late-night TV jokes. So speak to your neighbors about Jesus and His righteousness. Tell them Jesus is coming. Repent and trust, then trust and obey. And to those who say don't mix politics and religion, I say balderdash. That's like saying put the fish in one barrel and the salt in another. That's stupid. Our godly character must permeate this society. So we can't just go out and demand liberty. That's foolish. That's like a 12-year-old coming to you and saying, give me the car. Give me the keys to the car. No, it's time that we as believers begin to train our children, bring them up right, and to care for our own people. That's widows and orphans, because that's truly the only religion that pleases God, as we keep ourselves pure from the filth of this world. So remember, the Constitution was written by people with character, for people with character, and we get the kind of government we deserve. The powers that be are ordained of God, Romans 13:1. Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So liberty comes when God's people say, enough's enough. There is a God, and He's our mighty fortress. Now, I hope you believe that. And that means to live by this truth, because it truly is righteousness that exalts a nation, and sin is the reproach to any people. So revival will restore a nation if God repents and tarries like He did at Nineveh. Father God, seal this message to the hearts of the people, and God bless America. You are our only hope, our mighty fortress, and in the name of Jesus I pray. So I love you all. Just remember, the body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He, Lord Sabaoth His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph. Through us, the prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gift are ours, through Him who with us guideth. let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom.